Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So things in the Republican race for the presidential nomination suddenly seem a lot clearer with Mitt Romney dropping out, but the Democratic race is as tight as ever. So we'll talk more about the Republicans in a little while with a guest from the Wall Street Journal. But right now we're going to dissect the Dems with Marie Coco, syndicated columnist with the Washington Post Writers Group. Marie, welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. This is uncharted territory, isn't it?
Actually, it's not so uncharted. It is in the sense that we have Barack Obama, the first black candidate, and Hillary Clinton, the first female candidate. But the idea of a protracted Democratic nomination fight is not uncharted at all. We had one in the Gary Hart, Walter Mondale campaign in 1984.
Did it take them that long?
It took them quite a while. In fact, when I was researching Super Tuesday the other day, before the election was actually held, one of the little factoids that I turned up is that Gary Hart was the big winner on Super Tuesday in 1984. And the other fact that I think some other people have talked about is that Jesse Jackson was the big winner of Super Tuesday in 1988. He won the most states. He won 13 primaries and caucuses that day. Al Gore won 4. And the eventual nominee, Mike Dukakis, I believe only won 2. He won the 2 very biggest states. Florida was held on that day, and I forget what the other one was that Dukakis won. But Super Tuesday, you know, has not always settled everything. And so I think the most illustrative one in this case might be Gary Hart and Walter Mondale, because Mondale is very much was very much the Clinton type of candidate. He was the party establishment favorite. He was the union favorite, and so forth. And it turned out that he could slog through to the end. I don't think that's exactly the same parallel, but I just wanted to point out it is not completely unprecedented to have these things go a while. That said, certainly the party wanted it to end on February 5th. That's why they put so many states on the same day, and frankly, so many big states on that day.
Right. So they would have a nominee to run against the Republicans and gather support. Well, you wrote in your most recent column that, quote, the media are blinded in these lights, utterly unable to see the appeal of Clinton's prosaic promises to improve voters' personal bottom lines, unquote. So do you think Obama is running on some kind of smoke and mirrors?
No, I didn't say smoke and mirrors. What that column was really all about is something that we have seen in every exit poll since Iowa, which is that the Democratic Party is dividing along class lines. Obama is getting upscale, white, liberal, highly educated voters. David Brooks wrote about that today in his New York Times column.
Yeah, in fact, in addition to what you wrote, I want to throw in one more fact here from his column, which I didn't know until I read it, and you know, maybe you can incorporate this.
Right.
He identified, in addition to the other gaps that people have been talking about, an education gap between Clinton. And here's the number. Obama won by 22 points among people with college degrees.
Right.
Clinton won by 22 points among people with only high school diplomas.
Right. Let me give you some data from the California exit poll, which I have here in my hand. On education, let's just stick with the education theme for one moment. In California, the group, when you looked at California, no high school graduate, some college graduate, postgraduate. They had 5 categories of education levels that were in this exit poll. The only group Obama won was postgraduate. This is in California. Clinton won every other level of education. It is true.
That means,
we saw very dramatically in New Hampshire, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about the New Hampshire strategy that Clinton pursued.
Uh-huh.
It is very true that Clinton has been getting the downscale Democrat, the people who earn under $50,000 a year, the people who have less education, elderly voters. I want to talk about those if we can a little bit later on, because they are going to be key in some of these big upcoming states like Ohio and Pennsylvania. And Obama has basically put together a coalition that consists of African Americans of all classes, and these high-end whites. This is why he was so successful, for example, in Connecticut.
And young people of all races, right? Under 30s?
No, that's not true. That has actually been somewhat inconsistent across states. Clinton won the youth vote in California.
Did she?
Yes, she did.
I did not see that.
You know, there's a lot of... Brian, I think what we're stumbling on here is a lot of the media... either misinformation or glossing over or too simplistic analysis that has been going on in this campaign. Clinton won, for example, in New Hampshire, she won the 25-29 vote. In New Hampshire, when they came out of Iowa and Clinton saw the tremendous surge of support among young people that Obama had, and particularly among college young people, her campaign did something very interesting. If you look at census data, you will find very quickly that more than two-thirds of young people are not in college. And so Clinton very deliberately went after non-college-educated people in that age group. And, in fact, she won them. She put out flyers. It was the oldest of old politics you could imagine. She put out flyers in bars, in laundromats, in daycare centers, where, of course, young families, if you're not a college-educated family, perhaps you do have children at age 24 or 25, and you're going to daycare centers. We have to remember that there's a lot of diversity within all of these groups, even among young people. So I would just make that point, because I think this, partly because of the 24/7 nature of cable TV, everything gets boiled down and simplified to the most ridiculous point, and some of the data just does not bear out what we're hearing on television.
So what does it mean, these particular splits? Because maybe...
Well, I think what it means in the short term is that Barack Obama will probably, almost certainly win, for example, in Maryland on Tuesday, where the Democratic electorate in Maryland looks very much like the Connecticut Democratic electorate. You have a couple of big cities with a high African-American population. You have some counties in Maryland that border Washington, D.C., that are majority African-American. And then you have a very liberal, upscale, white, suburban voter. Virginia is a little bit different from that. And Virginia is going to be, I think, a better test in some ways for Clinton, because I think she has an opportunity here. The white voter in Virginia who votes in a Democratic primary is not as liberal as Connecticut or Maryland. It's an entrepreneurial, a lot of tech workers. The technology industry is huge in Northern Virginia. It's also somewhat racially diverse. There's a lot of Asians in Northern Virginia. There's a lot of Hispanics in Northern Virginia. And we know from California that Clinton did very well with those two ethnic groups. So Virginia is a little bit more of a fertile ground for her to mine some of these votes. But what we have going forward, if you want to talk about that.
Yeah, we have just a minute left. Do you want to say your comment about the elderly vote or whatever you want to say?
The elderly vote is about 20% of the Democratic electorate, and Obama has not won the elderly vote in a single state. This is going to be a very significant issue, I think, if he wins the nomination and John McCain is the Republican nominee.
Do you think it presents a kind of new moral dilemma for some of the upscale Democrats who think that they vote on behalf of working class people when they vote against the Republicans? But now here's the split within the Democratic Party in a way that probably catches people by surprise.
Well, I haven't seen any indication that people are feeling morally conflicted if they support Obama. Quite the opposite, actually. There's a real moralistic strain, I think, in that movement-oriented appeal that he has, particularly around the issue of the Iraq War. So, I don't see that happening yet. What my column is trying to point out is that there is a big – each of these two candidates have very divergent coalitions. And if you look at Clinton's coalition, it is the traditional Democrat, blue-collar workers, elderly people, older people, people downscale voters who make, you know, the dividing line that pollsters are using is $50,000 a year. Mm-hmm. But in fact, her single best group are those who make under $15,000 a year.
And that's
so she's getting the core traditional old New Deal Democrat. He's getting what they call the wine track, these upscale white liberals and the African-American vote.
All right.
I think there are potential problems for both of them going forward, which we can talk about after the break.
And we'd love to talk about that. Actually, we'll have to do that in your next visit, but we will guarantee that next visit with Marie Coco, syndicated columnist with the Washington Post Writers Group. And we'll talk about Mitt Romney dropping out and what that means coming up.